So I think it's been long enough now that it's time for me to give a sequel to my Disney marathon homily. So as many of you recall, back in January, I had the opportunity to run a full marathon in Disney World down in Florida. It was amazing. And not only was it my first time running a marathon, which was painful and terrifying, but it was also my first time going to Disney World. Now this kind of fulfilled like a long-standing childhood dream, right? When you're a kid and you love Disney, like you dream of going to Disney World. And I'm probably one of the biggest Disney nerds there are. Like, I've seen pretty much every Disney movie that's ever been made. I know every hero, every villain. I know every Disney song by heart. Like, I'm a huge fan of Disney. And so when I found out that me and a couple priest friends were going to be traveling to Disney World, fulfilling this dream of mine, I kind of freaked out a little bit. And I went the distance. So I got online and I started doing like all this research about Disney World. You know, like what are some of like the secret things there? I got books about Disney. I went on Pinterest, like all these different things, like researching Disney World so I could have like the most fun you could possibly have in that park. And some of it is amazing what they do, especially with the people that work there at Disney. So for instance, if you see like the characters, you know, the full-size characters of like Buzz Lightyear and Woody, if you go up to them and you say, "Andy's coming," they'll fall down on the pavement as if they were a toy, you know, and a person was coming. It's just amazing the level of detail they put into it. But as I was going through that and I was getting geared up, you know, and I was getting really, you know, ready for this trip to Disney, it dawned on me that maybe I was making a big mistake. Because in this preparation and this anticipation and kind of building it up as much as it was, I kind of thought, well maybe I'm going to be disappointed. You know, here it is, I'm 31 years old. And I'm going to a place that is built for kids. You know, it's a kid park. And here I am thinking to myself, maybe I'm going to get there and it's just not going to be what I thought it was going to be. It's not going to live up to those expectations. I'm going to get there and like the Cinderella castle is going to be like this tall. You know, that kind of thing. You know, or the rides aren't going to be nearly as fun as I think they're going to be. And so I kind of stayed back and I was like, well, you know, we'll just take it for what it is. I'm not going to get my hopes up too high. So we get down there to Disney and we go straight to our resort and kind of set up, and we're getting ready. The first thing we're going to do is the marathon the next day. So I don't get a chance to see any of the parks. I don't get to see Epcot or the Cinderella Castle or anything before the marathon. There's none of that going on. And I began to realize my first glimpse of all four of the parks is going to be while I'm running this marathon, which might tarnish my first impressions a little bit, right? So I'm a little concerned about that. So we're getting ready for race day. We wake up that morning, and I've got on my phone a playlist that I put together, music for the entire race. And I kid you not, I found 4 hours of Disney music. And so it's everything. I mean, everything, anything that Disney's ever done. So even including like the "in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki tiki." I mean, every song, you know. So I'm gonna have 4 hours of Disney music. And I just set it to random. You know, I didn't have it in any order necessarily. And it's like in doing that, God like smiled down on me. And he was like, I see what you've done preparing for this trip. And you have this playlist. Like, I'm going to take care of you. This is going to be the best introduction to Disney you're ever going to get. And so music set to random. We get to the starting line of the race, right? And right when I'm crossing the starting line, randomly on my phone, the song comes up from the movie Hercules. "I will find my way. I can go the distance. I'll be there someday if I can be strong." I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm getting ready for this marathon. Every mile's gonna count. So then we get going, you know, and we go past like Gaston's pub from Beauty and the Beast. And I kid you not, on my phone, "No one fights like Gaston, no one bites like Gaston." You know, I'm like, this is amazing. And then we're going and we started before dawn. And so right when the sun started breaking over the horizon, those first Florida sun rays started beaming across the horizon, I kid you not, I mean, I was just like, it's the Lion King. Like, this is amazing, you know, and it's the dawn rising, you know, the circle of life. But the best one by far was when we entered the Magic Kingdom and we made the turn onto Main Street, and you got to see Cinderella's castle for the first time in all of its glory. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. And I'm just like, tears flowing down my face. I'm just crying my eyes out. I'm like, it's so beautiful. And so it was. It was the best introduction to Disney. There was no way I was going to be disappointed. There was no way I was going to be let down, no matter how much I thought about it, no matter how much I anticipated it. Disney World is the happiest place on earth, and it did not disappoint me. But even more so, it is absolutely impossible. It's impossible for us to be let down, even if we spend a lifetime imagining what heaven is going to be like. No matter how glorious you make it in your mind, no matter how far you let your imagination go, there is no way you're going to be disappointed. Even in today's readings, right, we have the second reading where the author is trying to convey this vision of heavenly realities that he sees. And you can almost tell how much he's struggling with this, right? He's trying to grasp at it with everything he's got. He's trying to describe it in earthly terms. He's like, it's like the city of Jerusalem, the holy city coming down from heaven. And it has, you know, these alabaster walls. It has these sapphires and jasper gems, these crystals in it. It has gold-paved streets. I mean, the descriptive terms they use, you can tell he's like, I can't find anything better on earth to describe what I'm seeing here. You know, he mentions it's bathed in the glory of God. Like, he's just struggling to convey in human terms what heaven is going to be like. And even Christ, in today's gospel, he says to his followers, he says, if you loved me, if you really loved me, you would be rejoicing that I am returning to the Father, that I'm going back home, that I'm going to where we're all going to be someday. You would be rejoicing for me because you would know what awaits us. Down through the centuries, artists and authors and musicians have all tried to capture this, tried and imagined what will heaven be like. C.S. Lewis, a great example, in his The Great Divorce, he talks about how heaven, it's just more substantial, it's more real than anything on this earth. And in fact, if you're not a citizen of heaven, so if like you right now were to take a bus up to heaven right now and you stepped off the bus, the grass would be so real that when you stepped on it, you'd be like a shadow stepping on it. It wouldn't budge under your footfalls. And if you tried to like pluck a fragile rose from the garden, your hand would pass right through because it would be more real than you are. That's what heaven will be like. Or we have Tolkien, not in his Lord of the Rings, but in one of his other books, Leaf by Niggle, which I highly recommend you read. It talks about this artist that decides to paint a leaf on a canvas, and he starts painting the leaf and realizes it's such a beautiful and perfect leaf that it needs a twig. So he attaches a twig to it, paints that, and then it needs a branch. And so he goes off the canvas and he paints this branch onto the twig, onto the leaf. And he's like, that branch is so good, it needs a trunk. And so he starts painting on the wall, you know, this big trunk. And eventually his whole house gets filled with this painting of a tree, its foliage, its leaves going everywhere in the house. He spends a lifetime working on this tree, pouring himself into it. And then he dies. And on the other side, as he goes to new life in heaven, his angel guide looks at him and points into the distance, and he sees his tree that he spent a lifetime on, but now it's not just a painting, it's real. It stands before him, and it has a shadow over him. You know, it's shade tree, and it's filled with birds, and it's perfected in its nature. And the point being, what if the things that we do in this life actually do matter in eternity? What if the things that we strive for here are then perfected and made even more real in the life to come? What if heaven was that real to us It's mind-blowing, it's mind-bending to even think about. Or how about Robert Hugh Benson in his book, The Lord of the World? To him, heaven and everything it contained resides in every single host of the Eucharist that we receive, that every drop of blood in the chalice contains heaven itself, and that we here get a chance to participate in that. It's undeniably beautiful. And so my challenge for us today is the next time that we enter into prayer, try to imagine what heaven will be like. A lot of times when we pray, we focus on this world, and rightly so. We have our lives, we have our families, we have our jobs, we have all these things that are going on, and we pray about those things. That's great. But what if we tackled what all the great saints have done before us? What if we, in our limited capacity, tried to imagine that world where we'll be someday? That world will, yes, we'll see our beloved family members and friends who have gone before us, and that will be amazing, but heaven is so much more than that. And if we can begin to grasp that reality, even on the smallest level, then suddenly we'll find that we have exactly what Christ wished us to have. A peace that the world cannot give. A peace that can stand against any trial or tribulation, against it, because we know what awaits us. We know how wonderful that place will be. Because it's not just going to be the happiest place on earth. It's going to be the happiest place of all. Our homeland. Amen.